Pete Zimmerman's the producer. This is John Williams. Here's Hugh Odom. He's the founder and president of Vertical Consultants. He's a telecom expert, which makes him an expert then on just about everything happening in the world today. Welcome to the show, Hugh. How are you?
I am well. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to you.
I understand for about a dozen years you were an AT&T attorney. Everybody's talking 5G. That's what I'm referring to. Give me a layman's term understanding of what 5G is.
Well, the quick explanation is 5G is an upgrade from 4G, which does two very big things. It's first, it increases speed. And when I say increases speed of the network out there right now on your phone or any other communication devices or interconnectivity, I'm talking somewhere between 50 to 100 times faster than what you currently have under a 4G network. So that's the first big thing. Second thing is lower latency. And that's very simply this. Think about pushing a button. It takes a second for whatever you're pushing to activate. Then 5G does that in a millisecond. It does it almost instantaneously. So you have faster speed, your network, faster late or lower latency, which means a higher response rate. And those two things combined provide ultimate advantages for both consumer products and all the way up to business products as well.
What kind of advantages? I mean, so I've shortened the wait time by a second. Does that make things more functional, or can machines do more things with 5G?
Correct. It's not shortened by a second. It's shortened from a second down to almost instantaneously. So it basically, we're talking about a lot of automation, a lot of things that can be controlled autonomously with regards to from your home to a business network. For example, we have such a supply chain issue right now. As 5G grows out, you can basically improve supply chain conversion for everything from inventory control to automation of equipment to production and transportation. This will provide things that provide productivity, efficiency, and in result, you can get things faster to customers, you can get things faster to business, and that increases the productivity and lowers cost to some degree as well.
Yeah, this may sound like a tangent to you, but it is kind of curious to me that is okay, but really you've shortened the wait time from 1 second to almost 0 seconds, which is swell, but I mean, 1 second isn't a week. It's not like dial-up. So somehow that translates, though, in the grand scheme of things to, am I going to get my refrigerator quicker as a result of this?
Well, it is to a certain degree, if you think about it this way. That 1 second to basically a millisecond allows you self-driving vehicles, allows you vehicles that can work in a warehouse that can be automated from a remote facility, whereas right now you can't do that to that level. So if you start that little bit of gap, that lower latency provides that ability to do all these things you see on commercials and you see in futuristic movies that provide a ability to do things that are basically remote. And you don't have to be there. And by doing a remote, you can also provide a level of efficiency. If I have an ability to run at a certain rate based upon automation, I can lower cost of fuel. I can be more productive in routing those pieces of equipment or that transportation vehicles, et cetera. That provides a level of not only efficiency, but that leads to productivity. That leads to better cost control.
Will there ever be a need for 6G, or is this the end of the road? This is as fast as it can be or needs to be.
No, they're already working it. You have in China, they're already working on 6G. It takes about between 3G to 4G, 4G to 5G, and 5G to 6G. It takes about 10 years of getting it up and running, getting it, the technology. 6G will provide things that only have been described in futuristic movies. Basically, if you've seen movies where you can have data right in front of you instantaneously, everything controlled, connected, everybody's connected to each other, it is a substantial upgrade. Now, it is going to take a substantial build-out in infrastructure. 5G is handling that right now. I mean, our business deals in infrastructure build out and on the cell tower side with regards to consultation on that arena. And you're seeing right now from about 400,000 cell towers out there right now to a build out of up to over a million additional cell towers being built as well. So 6G will be out there. It's going to be about 8 to 10 years and it will be a game changer. We're talking a lot of futuristic stuff that really is incredible. If it gets to that level and works.
And is it cellular or is it fiber optic cables? I mean, what is the nature of the infrastructure that we're describing?
We're talking all cellular. We're talking all wireless, because the problem with a fiber optic cable, to some extent, you have to be connected to that. Wireless, you don't. So think of it, another application is agricultural. So you're out in the middle of a farm or livestock area. You don't have the ability to connect in. You have to have your equipment out there in the middle of areas that have no connection to a broadband connection or a plug-in. You have to have that ability. By having that connection via wireless, via 5G, you can control irrigation, you control fertilization, you can monitor your crops in a lot better way. And that, again, provides better efficiency, productivity, and better cost savings to the farmer, all the way up to the end user, being you and I.
Who's financing all of this? Is it private companies that are paying for all of this buildup, or is the government subsidizing that too? I know it was part of the infrastructure bill that the Biden administration was talking about. I'm not exactly sure how much that funding is still in there, but where's the money coming from?
Well, mostly it's on the private sector. Your big telecom companies, both domestic and foreign, are putting money behind 5G to a great level. On the government side, that's kind of going to be the interesting thing going forward. There's been some, beating around the bush of the federal government in the U.S. wants to be part of it and wants to have some control of it for certain reasons. And so there's money in the infrastructure bill to help in certain ways to build out in rural areas for rural broadband and wireless connectivity. But that's basically going to be the first step. I think the government's going to get more and more involved, because we are moving, no matter what people want or not, we're moving to a digital world. That means a digital economy. And if we don't move in that direction, we will be left behind.
So we'll leave it at that for now, Hugh. Your business, I guess, leases space for cellular companies or for cell phone operations?
No, we're actually a consulting firm, and we work on behalf of everybody from individuals all the way up to Fortune 500 companies when they're approached to put something on their property, their raw land, their buildings, and a municipality, on a school, on a church, whatever the case may be. We're on the other side. When, as you said, I was an attorney for AT&T for a very long time, and I was on the other side of the table. We formed about 11 years ago, and we help negotiate for property owners when they're either have an existing agreement in place or brought to a new agreement to put something on their properties.
The website is CellTowerLeaseExperts.com, and Hugh Odom is the founder and president of Vertical Consultants. Nice to talk to you, Hugh. Really interesting. Let's visit again.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
It's 12:43. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, and here's more business news with Steve Grzanich.